As I look at this passage of Scripture and I think about how beautiful the temple that Jesus is referring to here must have been, I understand that a part of it was overlaid with gold and the sun shone upon the white stone and you could see it from the desert. It was one of those beautiful sights. As a young boy, I remember my dad telling me that when the temple was built, there was not the sound of a hammer, that all the rocks were cut out of a quarry and they were brought in and they just laid in place like a puzzle. When I was in Israel, I remember looking at some of the buildings and a portion of the temple and thinking about how beautiful it must have been. And so for whatever reason, as Jesus is leaving the temple area, He is stirred to bring this statement that we've read this morning to you. And He speaks about the destruction of that beautiful edifice. I can remember those times in some of my travels when I was privileged to stand there at the base of the Statue of Liberty. And as I looked up at that grand old lady and felt a sense of pride in my heart for being an American. And later on, riding the Staten Island Ferry and seeing it against the skyline of New York. And I thought how sad it would be if one morning we were awakened to find that someone had destroyed this wonderful American icon. I remember riding around Manhattan with my son, and we looked off into the distance, and as we saw the Twin Towers of New York, and we know that today they no longer stand there, been destroyed by those individuals that if they could they would inflict greater harm upon us. Just a few weeks ago, our security forces intercepted bombs that were destined for New York and a synagogue and various places, and it's still being unfolded what all the damage that was intended to be inflicted upon us. And so we know that there are those out there that desire to do us harm. And it's hard to imagine that we will be successful to intercept every one of these hostile events directed at you and me. And so as we live in the midst of uncertainty, as we continue to live our lives, as I mentioned to the children this morning, as free Americans, as we still enjoy the travels on our public transports or in our automobiles, I'm sure that most of the time we have in the back of our mind, is someone going to blow up a bridge that I happen to be crossing? Is someone going to do damage to an aircraft that I happen to be riding on or one of my loved ones is on? And so it's in the midst of, I guess, that same type of uncertainty that Jesus is talking to His disciples, in the sense that all they wanted Jesus to do, if you remember, was to come in and to defeat the entire Roman Empire. And so there are those there, even at that time, that were not at peace with all that was taking place in the temple area. And Jesus says, all this is coming down. And so we know by history that 40 or so years later that Titus came in and These words were fulfilled exactly. Not one stone left on another. I remember hearing a young person preaching on this passage of Scripture, and he said that what happened was the gold melted and ran down between the rocks, and so are the stones that were used, and each one of them were turned over as the soldiers began to plunder and to get out the gold so that they would have money for their services. Every stone, not one upon the other. As we live in our country and worship in our churches, as I reflect upon the reality of what's taking place in our world today, as I share with you and you share with me what's happening in some of our businesses, as we deal with the economic stresses that we find ourselves in today. Many times I think about when the history of our church. During the week, as I come and have the opportunity from time to time to come in here to the sanctuary, and I look at this beautiful building, and I think of all of those experiences that people have lived through the years. World War I, II, Korea, Vietnam, now today, Desert Storm. As I think about people's faith, the great revivals that have come across our land, the Finney revivals. Many of us experienced and participated in the Billy Graham revivals. We've seen faith as it manifests itself in a lot of different ways. If you read this passage of Scripture here, we can say that earthquakes have taken place in every generation. Pestilences, the Black Plague, the bubonic plague, polio, in our day, cancer, tsunamis. The reality that we live in a world of these types of experiences. We live in a world where everyone does not want to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Since I have been your pastor, we know of missionaries that have been killed either by someone's hand or by the act of nature. They have died on the mission field, proclaiming the good news of Christ. I don't know, since Jesus spoke these words, if there's ever been a generation that lived without trauma. I remember my dad saying to my neighbor one day when the world was in the midst of some terrible conflict, and he said something that has stayed in my soul for years. I would hate to think that I raised my son to die in some war, because they had said in World War II it was a war to end all wars. And yet, we still have wars. We still have calamities. And we're still going to have earthquakes. And we're still going to have economic adjustments and downturns, hopefully not depressions. But Jesus makes a statement here that echoes through my soul when he says, basically, it's an opportunity for you to testify. It's an opportunity for you to tell of the good news of Jesus Christ. It's an opportunity for you to proclaim what stabilizes your hope. It's an opportunity for you to proclaim where your peace comes from. I'll never forget, and I may have shared with you, but it comes to mind now, Hannah Lore Wilson. Hannah Lore is a member of Wesley United Methodist Church in Hartsville. She was a Hitler youth. She was in Berlin, and the Allies were coming. David was an ally. He was on his way to Berlin. He was an American soldier. They wrote one of those Advent devotionals for the church to share, and they both talked about their faith, how their faith sustained them on the same Christmas when she was in Belgium, Berlin, and he was on his way to Berlin. Different sides, but the same faith. This morning, it's not which political party we align ourselves with. It's not which denomination that we choose to unite our hearts with. The issue is our faith and our relationship with Jesus Christ. I share with you this morning what Seaman Kim Malvi Brun wrote in 1945. He wrote to his mother something like this: "Mom, tomorrow I'm going to be executed." He had worked against the Nazis, and he was condemned to die. He said, "When you look out and you see a bird in flight, a sunset, a sunrise, trees growing, when you see the beauty of a new plant," he said, "therein embrace my life, because I still live in those things that you see that are important." And he says, "And share this hope with my only child, my daughter, because I too will live in her. Your only son, Seaman Kim. Goodbye, Mom." And so in life, we do not live, as I have shared before, in a bubble. We experience earthquakes. We experience tornadoes. We experience the things of this world. And God gives us, in the midst of these, the opportunity to share our faith. Jesus even tells his disciples, "Don't even be thinking about what you're going to say. I'll give you the words to say." So this morning, in closing, the question that we all would ask, I think, is my heart at peace with God? Do I have this faith birthed inside of me? If not, O God, touch my heart, cleanse me, and enable me to be one of your committed disciples. In Christ's name, amen.